Notice what the Bible says at the end of verse number 17 in 1 Timothy chapter 6. It says, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. God giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Who's the one that gives this to us? It's the living God, right? We're trusting in the living God who gives to us richly all things so that we may enjoy the things that are given to us. You know, God desires that we enjoy the Christian life that we are living for Him. He desires that we enjoy the things that He gives to us. Because of what God has given to us, life can be enjoyed. We can enjoy this Christian life that we are living today. There are a few things that can make this life enjoyable. There are a few things or a few ways that we're going to talk about this morning that can help us to rejoice or enjoy life. There's an evangelist, and he's kind of centered out of in West Virginia. Matter of fact, he does a lot of evangelistic work with evangelist Chase Whitten that was here with us last week. His name is Scott Pauley. Many of you maybe have even heard that name. Well, Scott Pauley has what we refer to as a podcast, and it's a time where he takes 15 minutes and he studies through a little portion of the Bible, and he uses that Bible study to go across the air, obviously, and online to be an encouragement to people. So this is evangelist Scott Pauley. He does this. A little 15-minute time. Actually, I think it's probably only 10 minutes. And I heard the story behind the name that he gave to his podcast. He talked about how that we are living in our Christian life, running the Christian race that God has for us. And this Christian life that we are living for the Lord, this Christian race that we are in for the glory and the honor of the Lord, is to be enjoyed. God doesn't want us to be miserable. God wants us to enjoy our Christian life and the days that He has given to us on earth here to serve Him. And so he gave a title for his podcast that he does, his little 10-minute Bible study that he does every day, and he calls it Enjoying the Journey. That's the name that he gave to his podcast, Enjoying the Journey. He said that when we're on this journey of life, this journey called the Christian life, we are to enjoy it. And you know, today you may be at a place in your life where you say, well, as a Christian, there were times in which I could say I enjoyed the Christian life more. There were times where I was just enjoying the journey, as evangelist Scott Pauley calls it. I was enjoying the journey. But it seems like now there's times where perhaps my joy isn't what it should be, or I'm not rejoicing in the Lord the way that I should. I want to preach this morning that thought. How can we enjoy the Christian journey? How can the life that God has given to us as a Christian be enjoyable? How can we rejoice? And how can we enjoy life? How can we get to this place? Well, before I give you a few thoughts, let's think about some things that would be presented to us in life that would not bring us joy and enjoyment. Although the world may look at it that way, they may say, this is going to bring me joy. I'm searching for joy, and I'm trying to find it in this. It's not going to be in possessions, is it? It's not going to be in possessions. You're not going to have rejoicing and enjoy the Christian life that God has given you because of the possessions that you have. My wife and I, about 2 weeks ago, I guess it was now, it was at the tail end of our vacation when we were away. We were watching a football game together. Because we were on vacation, that is the only reason she watched a football game with me. Trust me. She does not watch football games with me. I think it's boring to her to watch football. But we were watching a football game together, and our children were there as well. And we were watching this game, and one of the announcers made a statement about the salary of one of the athletes that was playing in the game. Now, I'm not going to mention the athlete. Many of you probably here would even know his name. But they mentioned the salary. And she looked at me and she said, man, I couldn't imagine $30 million. And I told her, I said, Beth, the announcer didn't say $30 million. He said $300 million. So over the course of this man's contract, now I know it wasn't on 1 year, but on the course of this man's contract, he was making, this athlete now plays professional football, he's making $300 million. Our enjoyment is not about possessions. The rejoicing of our life is not about what we own. So it's not in our possessions. It's not in our power, or the position that we might have. It's not based upon our prestige or our popularity or our programs that we're involved in or things that are promotions in our lives. It's not about that, but I want to present to you today some ways in which we can enjoy this Christian journey that we are living today. Number one, I want you to notice this. I want to give you a few thoughts that can help us to rejoice and enjoy the life that God has given us. Our rejoicing, our enjoyment, number one, is in a person. Our rejoicing, our enjoyment today is found in a person. And that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are rejoicing in the person of Christ. This morning I taught a Sunday school lesson to our men. And after the message was over, after the lesson was over, Brother Dennis made a statement to me. He said, "Wait, while you were teaching," he said, "God kept bringing a Bible verse to my mind." And he said that Bible verse was, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Aren't you glad that in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know Him as your Savior, He is with you all the time. You have His presence. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You can enjoy the Christian life. You can enjoy the journey that God has you in right now in life because of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn with me to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to stay in Philippians to read 3 verses. So if you find your place there, it'll help you because we'll be there for 3 different verses. Number one, our enjoyment, our rejoicing is in a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 1. It says this, "Finally, my brethren," look at the next 4 words, "rejoice in the Lord." He didn't say rejoice in your $300 million contract, or rejoice in the fancy car that you have or the house that you have. And I understand we all know this. He's saying rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. Rejoice in the fact that His presence is always with us. Rejoice in the fact that He has given us promises. Rejoice in the fact that He left the glories of heaven to come down here to earth to die on a cross for us. We are rejoicing today in a person, aren't we? And then look, if you would, at Philippians chapter 3. Look down at verse number 3. Philippians chapter 3, look down at verse number 3. He says, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit." Now notice the next 5 words. "And rejoice in" who? Christ Jesus. We're rejoicing in a person today, aren't we? Again, it's not about what I own, what about I possess, the power, the prestige, the popularity that I have. It's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that Bible verse that we're studying this week, or this month. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The name is Jesus Christ. We're rejoicing in Him and what He has done for us. Turn with me if you would. You might not even have to turn. Philippians chapter 4. You might not even have to flip a page there. You might be close enough where you don't have to. Look at Philippians chapter 4. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 4. It says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Oh, you say, well, wait a minute. What about the times when it seems like God has made a mistake? What about the times when it seems like if I would have had the final say, I would have done things a little bit different? What about the times when it seems like God is not always in control of every circumstance? What about those times? What about when I go through the hard times of life in a physical way with my health, or in a financial way with my finances, or in a spiritual way when I'm just having a spiritual battle? What about those times? God says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." You know, there's a man who wrote a hymn that's in our hymn book. Matter of fact, you probably heard his name, Ron Hamilton. Some of us know him by the name or the title, Patch the Pirate. Because Ron Hamilton lost his eye, didn't he? And Ron Hamilton had to go through a lot of struggles because of that. And so the patch goes over his eye because of the eye that had to be removed. They put a patch over his eye. Instead of looking at it as God made a mistake, instead of looking at it as God did something and it just seems like it's out of His control. Instead, He used it for the honor and the glory of the Lord. So he said, well, now I'm going to refer to myself as Patch the Pirate. And now I'm going to come up with Bible stories that I can teach to children as Patch the Pirate. And now I'm going to write a whole bunch of songs. And one of those songs that he wrote, one of those hymns that he wrote is in our hymnal, isn't it? The title of it, Rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistakes. For when I am tried and glorified, I shall come forth as gold. Patch the Pirate, Ron Hamilton, was able to say, God didn't make a mistake. He was able to say, God knows what's best, and because of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can still rejoice. So even in the challenges of life, even in the problem areas of life, we can still rejoice. Let me prove it to you. Look at 1 Peter, if you would. Go back to 1 Peter, if you would, chapter number 4. I want you to notice something very, very important here in 1 Peter. Find it so you can look at it here. 1 Peter chapter 4. Take your Bible there and look at it. 1 Peter chapter 4, and notice what the Bible says in verse number 12. Oh, what a challenge for us here. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12, he says this, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Okay, you are going to go through times of trial. Matter of fact, that was all of what our Bible lesson this morning for our men's Sunday school class was about. You go through trials, you just stay faithful. You go through trials, you just press on. Don't let it discourage you. Don't let it cause you to quit. Don't let it cause you to give in or to give up or to not have the faith that God wants you to have. So he says, yes, you're going to go through trials. Don't think it's strange, he says. Now notice what he says in verse 13. But rejoice. It almost seems like it doesn't make sense. It contradicts one another, right? I'm going to go through a trial, but yet I'm supposed to rejoice. Notice what he says, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now let me ask you a question. Did Christ ever have to go through a trial? Did he ever have to face moments of suffering? He says, hey, rejoice. Rejoice, even in the midst of a trial. Why? Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, my rejoicing is in the small suffering that I'm able to endure for the person who endured so much for me. Man, you say, how can you rejoice when you go through a trial? Because my rejoicing is in the fact that I go through what I go through to endure just a small affliction or a small suffering that I go through, rejoicing that I can go through it and still rejoice in Christ after I consider what all He has done for me. My rejoicing, number one, is in a person. So what does that make us realize this morning? It makes us simply realize this, that my rejoicing is not in what I have, but in who I belong to. See, my rejoicing, my enjoyment in the Christian life is not based on what I have. It's based on who I belong to. As a songwriter wrote it so well, I'm a child of the King. You think about the riches that God has and the riches that we have because we are a child. We are joint heirs of all that, aren't we? We are rejoicing. Yes, it may be that you don't have a lot of possessions down here on earth. And you may leave this earth and you may say, I wasn't the richest person that ever walked on the face of this earth. But you think about the riches you have in glory. And that's not based upon what you had here. It's based upon who you belong to. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus, my Lord, the songwriter says, will love me forever. Now I belong to Him. The rejoicing is not in what I have, but who I belong to. The second reason in why we can rejoice today, number one, we said it's in a person, but number two, I want you to understand this morning that my rejoicing and my enjoyment is in, number two, a place. My rejoicing is in, number one, a person, but number two, my rejoicing is in a place. I want you to take your Bible, if you would, and I want you to turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter 10. And look with me, if you would, down at verse number 17, once you've found Luke chapter number 10. So Luke chapter 10 and verse number 17. My rejoicing is in a place. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 10. Remember, Jesus has sent 70 men out, 70 men that were disciples. He sent them out and they come back to Jesus and they give a report of what has taken place. They're going to give a report. And so Jesus is speaking here as these 70 come back and they talk to him. They deliver the report of what has taken place. Notice what Jesus says. Verse number 17, they speak to him. Look, it says this. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. There's great joy in their heart, and they give the reason for their joy. They say, hey, we are rejoicing today because we found that when you sent us out, the devils were subject unto our name. Look at what Jesus says in verse number 18. He begins to speak here. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding. Look what Jesus says to him. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. So your rejoicing is because the devils are subject unto your name. But he said, it's not about that. He said, that's not where our rejoicing comes from. Notice what he says at the end of verse number 20. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hey, I'm rejoicing in a place today. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. It's not about everything that's temporal. It's about what is eternal. I'm not going to have to live in this home forever. I'm rejoicing in a place that God has gone to prepare for me. Remember what he said in the book of John? And it gives us comfort, doesn't it? He says, let not your heart be troubled. He says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go and prepare a place. See, my rejoicing is in a place. It's not in the house I live in Sharpsburg. It's not in the temporary places what we have down here. It's in an eternal place, isn't it? We're working, we're serving for the eternal, aren't we? So he says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Our rejoicing is in a place. He said, hey, don't rejoice in the fact that the devils are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. And as a result of your name being written in heaven, you have a place that is being prepared for you. A place that has been promised to us. And it right now is being prepared. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Revelation. The last book of the Bible. And look at chapter 7, if you would. Revelation chapter 7. And look down, if you would, at verse number 9. Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 9. Now we're going to read just a few verses here, so keep your eyes and your mind on this. It says in verse number 9 of Revelation chapter 7, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne in their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever, amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I know that the Bible speaks more about hell than it does about heaven. I understand that. I think there's a reason for that. God doesn't want us to go there, so he warns us, doesn't he? But the little bit that we do have in our Bible about heaven certainly would cause our heart to rejoice, wouldn't it? Hey, there's not going to be any more sickness there. Man, my rejoicing is in a place, right? A place that he's prepared for me, a place that he's promised. I'm not going to have to worry about pain anymore. I'm not going to have to worry about sin anymore. I'm not going to have to worry about death anymore. Aren't you thankful that he says he'll wipe away every tear, never to have to shed a tear again? Man, we are looking forward to a place, aren't we? Now, do you have a place reserved in heaven? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time where you put your faith and trust in him, relying upon him and him only to take you to heaven? You can rejoice in that place that God has prepared for you. So my rejoicing is not in what I do, but it is in what has been done. You say, well, what's been done? Jesus died for me. Therefore, he gave me the promise that if I put my trust in him, I can have a home in heaven. What has been done? Well, God says, I'm preparing a place for you. I'm working on a mansion. I don't have a mansion down here, but I'm excited about the mansion I'll get to live in for all of eternity. Hey, and listen, and while we're enjoying the journey along the way, while we're enjoying the journey because of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, and because of the place that we have promised for us, hey, why don't we try to take as many people as we can with us along the way? Share the gospel to as many people as we could. Hey, our challenge, good news every day. Let's give out the good news every day so we can take as many people to this place as we possibly can to live with us there for eternity. Our families and our friends, those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Hey, my rejoicing is in a person. My rejoicing is in a place. Number three, my rejoicing is in a peace. My rejoicing is in a peace. Aren't you thankful that your heart can be at such peace with the Lord that you can pillow your head at night with a clear conscience, knowing that you have peace in your heart? You think about those that are out in this world that are struggling to try to find enjoyment, joy, happiness, rejoicing, however they would word it. And you think about the battle they're going through to try to find that. And it's in this addiction and in this thrill. But every time when all of that goes away, there's no peace. God says, I've got peace for you. Man, I want you to have peace so that you can enjoy the Christian life. You don't have to walk around miserable. You don't have to walk around with a sad face. You don't have to walk around with no hope, with no peace. God says, I want you to enjoy the Christian life because you have peace. Look with me, if you would, real quickly at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look down once you've found that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look down, if you would, at verse number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 12. He says this, for our rejoicing is this. Man, I love this. All right, so how are we going to rejoice? We're going to rejoice in a person. We're going to rejoice in a place. But then notice there's another way we can rejoice. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you, Word. He says, my rejoicing is in the testimony of our conscience. The fact that I can have peace in my heart. I can have a conscience that is so clear that it brings peace to me. A peace that I've done what is right. A peace that I'm living right. A peace that causes a desire to continue to do right. Hey, I have this peace because I've done what God wanted me to do, and I want to continue to have that peace. So I'm going to continue to do that which pleases my Savior. A peace that is so clear and so obvious and so evident that you could pillow your head at night. And you could pillow your head at night free from guilt and free from struggle. You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 24 and verse number 16 that we are to have a conscience that is free of guilt towards God and towards man. The only way that you will ever have peace is if things are right between you and God and things are right between you and others. That's how God gives peace, right? God gives peace as things are right between us and God. They're right in a vertical way, right? And then they're right in a horizontal way as well. We're right with one another. That means that there's nothing that stands in the way between me and God. There's nothing that stands in the way between me and someone else. God says that's when you can have peace. But the opposite of that, the Bible says it's possible to have a guilty conscience. It's possible to have a seared conscience. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. A conscience that's so seared that you're even having a struggle between telling what's right and wrong anymore. You're going throughout life and there's no peace. There's just a constant struggle. The Bible says it's possible to even have an evil conscience. But God wants to give us peace, doesn't He? God wants us to have our conscience at peace. And as a result of that, we can enjoy life. But if we're going to do that, we're going to have to live right, aren't we? We're going to have to live free of what the world would have us to do. Free from giving in to the flesh. Free from always giving in to the devil and what he'd have for us to do. We're going to have to live honest lives, right? We're going to have integrity in our life. We're going to have to be conscious of our thoughts and our words and our deeds. We're going to have to refrain from sinful practices in our life. Notice this when we talk about peace. Notice that my rejoicing is not in what I've done, but the fact that I can be forgiven. I can be forgiven, and that forgiveness is so strong that it forgives my sin in the past, in the present, in the future. I can have a clear conscience before the Lord, knowing the peace of a clean heart, knowing the peace of a pure heart. You know, that may call upon somebody today to say, hey, there's some things I need to confess. Some things I need to get right so that I'm walking and living with the Lord with a clean conscience and a pure heart so that I can have this peace. Maybe perhaps that's why you're not rejoicing or enjoying the Christian journey like you used to. Because there's something that stands in the way. Maybe it's between you and God. Maybe it's between you and somebody else. And you say, I just need to get it right. I need to confess it. I need to ask God for His forgiveness. Let me give you the last one real quick and we'll finish quickly here now. My rejoicing, number four, is in God's plan and purpose for my life. My rejoicing, number one, is in a person. It's in a place. It's in a peace. And it's in God's plan and purpose for my life. You know, the Bible says this, and I've quoted this verse so many times. The Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Psalm 37. He says, delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, God has a plan. He has a purpose for every life, from the youngest to the oldest, right? If you're still breathing air, God has a plan for you. If you're still living today, God has a purpose for your life. I know a lot of times we try to preach that to children and teenagers. We try to say, hey, children, teenagers, find out what God's will for your life is. Live it out to the best of your ability. But hey, are we in God's will? As adults, are we doing what God would have us to do? As teenagers, as young people, it's for all of us, isn't it? And there is something special about enjoying the journey that God has for you when you're fulfilling His plan and His purpose for your life. You say, well, wait a minute, that verse kind of sounds a little bit confusing. It says, delight in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What if the desires I have for my life is not what the desires God has for my life is? Well, that's the first part of the verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord. That means fall in love with the Lord. Fall in love with Jesus. If you fall in love with Jesus, what you want to do and what He wants you to do will line up, I promise. You fall in love with Him. Hey, let's rejoice today. Let's enjoy God's plan and God's purpose for my life. You know, there may be somebody here sitting here today and you'd say, you know, there's something God has been tugging on my heart about. There's something I know I need to do for the Lord and yet I've not stepped up. Maybe you've not just made the step to say, hey, Pastor, I'll do that. You know I need to do, something I need to fulfill in the church here, something God's putting on my heart. And just to make the step to say, hey, that's God's plan, that's God's purpose for my life, to get to a place where you can fulfill that, where you can do what God would have for you to do. So let me make a statement at the end. My rejoicing then is not in what I'm able to do for my pleasure, but it's in what God allows me to do for His glory. See, it's not about taking my life and doing what I want to do for my own good or for my own pleasure. It's about rejoicing and saying, God, You allow me. You let me serve You. That's humbling, isn't it? That God lets me get on a church bus and serve the Lord. Hey, God lets me clean a toilet in a church. God lets me get out on a mower and mow the church property. God allows us to do this stuff. Isn't this great? God lets us serve Him. Oh, we're humbled by that, aren't we? So it's not about what I can do for my own good or my own pleasure, but it's about thanking God that you allow me, you let me serve you for your honor and your glory. Oh, may we rejoice. May we have enjoyment. Not because of our possessions, our popularity, our prestige, our power, our programs, our positions, our promotions, but in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the fact that He's prepared a place for us. If we know Him as our Savior now, if you haven't, I hope you'll settle that this morning. In a peace that you can have, is things right? Are things right between you and God? Are things right between you and others? A peace that you can have and fulfilling God's plan and His purpose for your life. You'll be a miserable Christian until you get into God's perfect plan and purpose for your life. Oh, God doesn't want you to be miserable. God wants you to be right where He wants you to be so that you can enjoy life. You can enjoy the journey. Let's not live miserable. Let's live enjoying the Christian life and rejoicing in what God enables us to do for His honor and His glory. Father, thank You for this thought, Lord, that You've given.